Blog Talk Radio.
Turn your head away, 'cause what I'm gonna talk about, nobody, nobody, nobody wants to be without. Makes no difference who you are or what color you happen to be, as long as you're alive. You're gonna have to say my, oh my, oh my, oh my. And all of the water that's in the sea, oh, how it flows so very free. Makes no difference who you are or what color you happen to be. I'm talking about freedom. Oh, what a wonderful world it would be if everybody could feel free. Freedom for you. Your daddy, your little sister needs freedom, y'all. Freedom to do what I choose to do. Come on, y'all, give me some freedom. I want some freedom. Come on, come on, come on, give me some freedom, y'all. Give me some freedom.
The Holistic Art of War is a blueprint for holistic warfare. Holistic warfare is exactly what it sounds like. Being prepared for war holistically, universally. Prepared for war from all angles, spiritually, mentally, and physically. Universal knowledge kills ignorance universally. Remember that. This show was created to inspire and motivate. Not just to inspire and motivate, but to inspire and motivate movement. Through application to higher vibration. We want to move to higher vibration, and we want to do that with knowledge and application, not ignorance and procrastination. This is about learning how to become the best you you can be, the real you that you were naturally designed to be, not the superficial you or the you that you were programmed to be. To know thyself is to know thy soul, and that's the only thing that's real in this world of illusions. This show is for high vibration conversation. On this show, we do not allow mental masturbation. The purpose of these conversations are for mental procreation, to produce and reproduce results using practical, applicable knowledge. We don't debate, we discuss to get solutions and results.
If you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time.
Is doing now, they're doing four basic things: racial showcasing, racial population tailoring, racial dislocation, and white sacrificing. And these four things are designed to produce maximum sophisticated confusion among the victims, and so far has been somewhat successful worldwide. Now I'll start with the first one. What is racial showcasing? That means taking huge numbers of black people and putting them out front. There's going to be more of this all over the planet. Many, many millions of black people that you will see who will be rolling in money. They'll be able to showcase the places where they live. They'll be able to showcase their knowledge and expertise. So you have television now, you have all of the mediums for doing this, for showcasing huge numbers of black people. I will say it will eventually run into the millions, so many that you won't be able to count them. Now, what is this for? This is for any black person that starts talking about racism in the future is going to be laughed at, because they're going to be able to showcase so many black people who are what you call quote-unquote successful that it will seem that racism has been put out of business. But white supremacy is a world business, and like any other business, it works on profits and losses, which means percentages. You go into business, you expect a certain amount of loss. If you're in the grocery business, well, you might have a load of asparagus that is spoiled. But overall, you will make more profits than you have losses if you're going to stay in the business. Now, so the white supremacists know that the cost of doing the business of white supremacy is going up. They can no longer get away with Joe Lewis and Lena Horne like they did years ago. They have to have many, many, many more black people who are going to be showcased. I made up this term just to explain it. You have to make up terms, because they won't make them up for you. So now that's the first phase, or one of the first elements in the maximum confusion. And so that black people won't be able to say, they'll say, well, you know, it must be something wrong with me that I'm down and out and don't have a biscuit to eat, because there are so many millions of black people who have so much, so it can't be race. But see, for the 4 or 5 million black people who would be showcased, there would be hundreds of millions worldwide who won't have a biscuit. That's the way the business operates in the future and will be. That's the way it seems to be going, according to what? The evidence, according to the logic. The other is racial population tailoring. That's number two, meaning they're going to be killing huge numbers, either directly or indirectly, of non-white people. When I say black people, I mean, you know, non-white. Anybody who's in the non-white category, and doing this on an ongoing basis. Not to try to kill them all, because when you're in the business of racism, you don't kill off the thing that you need in order to keep racism going. Your ego trip, which is what it's really all about. But you do tailor the population so you can keep them controlled. So you'll kill off a few million in the Congo, and you'll, a few years up the road, you'll kill off a few million in Nigeria, and a few years up the road, you'll kill off a few in Mexico, and on and on and on. And you will highly select the places where you do this. You'll have it all computerized, where you kill off huge numbers, or you have them, even better still, kill off each other, like you do in most of the cities in the northwestern part of the world, all the northwestern hemisphere, having black people gun down each other, you know, non-white people, the brown people gunning down each other, gangs and all that other foolishness, see, and you kill them off, you know, and you just keep this going and you egg it on, and you put things in place that will see to it that it just keeps going that way, it never stops, because that's the mentality of the people, and this is racial population tailoring. In other places where the people are reasonably sane, they don't have a tendency to kill off each other, then you do things like dry up the water, or poison the rivers, dump toxic waste. It's all kinds of ways to do that racial population tailoring. All right, then the other, number three, is racial dislocation. Keep them moving. People who are forever on the move through eminent domain, urbanization, urban renewal, gentrification, or here again, drying up the river. You build a dam 800 miles up and the river seals off the water behind the dam. I mean, the dam is sealed off, the river is sealed off behind the dam. So that means that all the people down in the valley there, they don't get any water. They need water. They depend on the fishing industry. So now they have to come and work for you because there's no more water there, no more fish. And you give them minimum wage and a promise for the future as long as they look up to you. So they'll know they're completely dependent. But keep them moving. If a black person in the northwestern hemisphere starts getting that second generation house, then you come through and say you got to build a highway. That's the technique. Now, these are things that you asked about how the white supremacists operate. These are the ways that they operate. The white sacrificing is the fourth. And this is, here again, all four of these things are for maximum sophisticated confusion among the victims. So you're not confused. You're keeping your victims confused. So you have white sacrifices, meaning it's kind of parallel to the racial showcasing. But these people in this case are white. Like in any army, or any military operation, you know you're going to have some losses. So some white people are written off under the system of white supremacy. And a lot of white people are aware of this. They don't like it. But they are told that this is the cost of doing business. Just like a person who goes into the army and knows full well you might get killed. But it goes with the territory of trying to defend your bigger operation. So white sacrifices mean you'll have some white, more and more white people on park benches, more and more white people begging on streets. They will be greatly visible. But what you won't pay attention to, because black people never pay much attention to what white people are doing, we just watch each other. See, they know that. You'll be passing millions of white people who are doing well on any city street. And for the handful of white people who have fallen through the cracks, you might say, sitting in front of the subways or begging in front of these the delicatessen. For the handful that you see doing that, up under the bridge and all like that, it will give the illusion that it's not about race, that white supremacy is officially out of business. So there will be more of these white sacrifices, and they will be greatly visible. But compared to the number of white people who will be prospering, it will be very negligible worldwide. Now, those are the four maximum sophisticated confusion elements.
You're going to get Trump out and we don't get nothing out of it. Because, see, this is what the finesse is. If they're doing this little twist con game going on here, and they up here acting like they got all of this black support, and they really don't. So now they can sit up here and claim victory. We don't get anything out of it. Because they said, well, fuck it, we don't need to give y'all niggas nothing because we about to finesse this shit anyway.
Come out to play, come out to play. We about to ride or die today. Come out to play, come out to play. We about to riot, riot, ay. Come out to play, come out to play. Niggas gon' mirror America, terror and tear up the place. Come out to play, black mirror nigga, black mirror nigga. Come out to play, come out to play. We about to ride or die today. Come out to play, come out to play. We about to riot, riot, ay. Come out to play, come out to play. Niggas gon' mirror America, terror and tear up the place.
This is from Malcolm and Martin Luther. Off of a balcony, I'ma shoot ya. How you did them, it's how I'ma do ya. Karma gon' fuck you, Karma Sutra. Fucking up your city cause we do what you showed us. Fucking up your city cause you did it in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Did he revolt? Yup, you'll get it in a minute when I'm finished, but hold up. You pray to Jesus, but he just a plug. You better pray to G-O-D above. Cut out the middle man or get pop quiz. What is that? Riddle with slugs. Bill and Melinda are the killer with black dreams. They really tryna guinea pig a nigga with vaccines. Those shots come from the gates of hell, so mine do as well. I'm pillin' your cat clean.
This say back for Frederick Hampton. Shoot a cop while he in his bed relaxing. Cointel Pro get a feds active. Afraid of the dark, y'all scared of blackness. You better be prepared, nigga, we here to warn you. You can either be an enemy or niggas can join us. This country built monuments for race and killers, so we gon' make a statue of Christopher Joyner. Never again will an Afro-American die in the street while he gasps us for arrogant. Call us your medicine cabinet, we show you the mirrors and give you taste of your own medicine. Eh, we the new millennium pastors, a new CEP, but a militant rapper. I'm finna visit the prisons and I'm finna kill a warden. Hanging from his cell, cause I did it to Sandra.
Come out to play, come out to play. We about to ride up, die today. Come out to play, come out to play. We about to riot, riot, ay. Come out to play, come out to play.
Niggas gon' mirror America, terror and tear up the place. Black mirror nigga, come out to play, come out to play. We about to ride or die today. Come out to play, come out to play. We about to riot, riot, ay. Come out to play, come out to play.
Niggas gon' mirror America, terror and tear up the place. Black mirror nigga, black mirror nigga.
This is for Georgia, Breonna Taylor. If you a cop, let the llama bang you. Don't blame me, this how y'all made us. Y'all been filling my con with anger. Everything y'all did, we finna copy. Cop in the street, getting kicked in the body. Beat him in the street, cause I did it to Rodney. Record that shit, let the internet watch me. Every motherfucking racist I see is finna be dead up in the street. You ain't gotta be a clan member when I blast. They gon' be under a sheet. Y'all fight dirty, but y'all want us to fight fair. Look in the mirror, the blame is right there. Niggas ain't living the American dream, so y'all motherfuckers made us America's nightmare.
This right here is for George Floyd. While you can still use your voice, fight or be killed, that's your choice. I say come out to play, squeeze more toys. And if I see another black nigga taking a knee, it better be Kaepernick or I'm blazing the heat. And then I'ma kneel on you while you're facing the streets. The streets are done talking, you're facing the streets. See, we rather deal with a system who cares, a system who knows how to deal with affairs, instead of these bitches who kill cause they scared. Move over like you plan on living upstairs. Niggas might have to go in a lock jail, arm everybody with a Molotov cocktail. Head to the spots where people at the top dwell and ready, aim, fire when I
come
kill.
Out to play, come out to play, we about to ride or die. Come out the place, come out the place. We about to riot, riot, ay. Come out the place, come out the place.
Niggas gon' mirror America, terror and tear up the place. Black mirror nigga, come out the place, come out the place. We about to ride or die today. Come out the place, come out the place. We about to riot, riot, ay. Come out the place, come out the place.
Niggas gon' mirror America, terror and tear up the place. Black mirror nigga, come out the place.
Justice or else. I mean, it sounds good, but I don't see no justice, so what's the or else? What does that consist of? Now, I know most of you don't have the heart or the spirit to get into, you know, all-out bloody war or violence to be the or else. I mean, it sounds good, but we all know most aren't built for that. They're too docile. That warrior spirit isn't awakened, you know. They think that they shouldn't kill and they shouldn't harm. And that, you know, you should love everybody and just keep on loving and it'll all go away. Nah, you can't love everybody. Where's the Mayat in that? There's no balance in loving everybody. But it's little simple things that can be done. Because like I said, I know most don't have the heart for, you know, bloody war or for the or else to consist of some type of violent act of aggression to show that we're not going to take it anymore. But little things, for example, with all that's going on with black people being killed, women, children, men, daily. I think that black people, or the black community, the so-called black community, should put more pressure on black athletes, entertainers, and celebrities. Put more pressure on them to do what? I think black people should put more pressure on black athletes, entertainers, and celebrities to boycott the industries that they work for, to boycott the industries that they're a part of. Because, I mean, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, and you're just in the way. Stop endorsing these athletes, these celebrities, these entertainers, if they don't have the best interests of the people at heart. If they're not willing to boycott or to, you know, just say, hey, I refuse to work, you know how much damage that will cause economically to those industries if all the black athletes boycotted and said, we're not going to play unless there's justice, since everyone's saying they want justice or else. The or else could be, we deplete them pockets. We take away from that industry, stop supporting it financially, stop allowing the system to gain financially or to consume off of our energy, our skills, and everything else that we offer this system but refuse to offer to ourselves. Or put pressure on these athletes, these celebrities, entertainers, the black actors. Stop casting in these movies. Stop auditioning for these roles. Stop taking roles. Stop working for these people. I mean, if you really enjoy your craft, you know, you can still record, make films and everything independently to keep doing what you love to do. Same thing with the athletes. You can still get together, play ball, do whatever it is that you love to do for the love. But I mean, most of you are filthy rich anyway. You're wealthy. You can afford to say, I ain't working for them no more. I'm not doing this no more. You can stop slaving for them. You know, you can stop being a fool for them. Stop being a pawn for them. Because you saying, oh, my family got to eat. I mean, come on. You're making multi-millions. What type of appetites your family got? What's your family need? I mean, you're making excuses for being a part of the problem and not part of the solution. But black people endorsing and supporting these individuals is an even bigger problem, because they're not giving, supporting, or doing anything to you. I guarantee with these murders and everything that were going on, let's say even with a Trayvon Martin, if all of the black athletes, black NBA players would have said, we're not going to play ball unless, and present a list of demands, I guarantee those list of demands would have been met, because they didn't want to take that economic hit like that. See, you hit them in their pockets. They don't care about people. They care about money. They care about material things. So when you hinder the development of their materialistic system or materialistic devices, when you hinder the growth of their capitalism, there's going to be a problem. So you pull out. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? I know I'm not the first person to think of this. You know, it's for athletes and celebrities to boycott and to not perform and to not work, to damage the pockets of these industries and corporations. You know the impact that would have? I mean, you look back during the so-called civil rights movement, they boycotted the bus systems and, you know, how they rallied together and they carpooled and they didn't use the white people's buses or cabs or transportation systems. They provided it for themselves. That's what we need to go back to. If you see something on that small scale and how that worked because of the money that was being lost by these white businesses because black people weren't being consumers or feeding into their businesses, you see they were quick to adapt, to conform, or to comply, or to compromise. Same thing on a larger scale. The money that they make off entertainment, sports entertainment, off of these celebrities, just entertainment period, all aspects of it. If you withdraw from it, look at the financial impact. If there were no black people playing sports, who would watch professional sports? Not many people. Most black people watch black films anyway. If black actors stop auditioning, stop going for roles, Hollywood film roles, you see how that damages economically, the impact that has when you only support your own and you refuse to support those that don't have the best interests of your own at heart? I mean, some people will say, well, the black athletes, you know, they give back to the community. Yeah, they give to charities, government organizations. They give to schools, government organizations. But are they giving loans? So they'll give funds for white colleges, but not for black businesses? Are they giving loans? Are they investing in their people? If you have an idea for, you know, a business to become an entrepreneur, are they giving loans? They say some of these individuals, they pay for kids to go to school every year. How about investing in black businesses and giving a startup money for these businesses so black people don't have to run to or try and get loans from banks, going begging the oppressor for a favor, trying to get their credit in order so they can be credited something from their oppressor that they're going to have to pay back with interest, and that may cripple them in the long run. I mean, these are just little things. I could go more in depth, but I'm not going to do that because I think that everyone can get the gist of what I'm saying. Stop supporting black athletes and entertainers if they're not supporting you. Being a fan of Beyonce or whoever your favorite sports player or celebrity is not doing anything for you, for your family, or for the betterment of your children. This is not something that's going to guarantee their future turns out to be bright. This is not something that's nourishing to them, that's nourishing your family. See, when you're dealing with guns and butter, that applies to all aspects. What is appreciating in value over time, and what is depreciating in value over time? The guns and butter of economics don't just pertain to property and material things that you buy. So it's bigger than an automobile or buying land, an automobile being considered butter because it depreciates in value over time, and land being considered guns because it appreciates in value over time. The same thing applies with your attention and your value in your home life, which is really true economics starts within the home. What are you valuing? What are you giving your energy to? What are your interests going towards? Are they guns or are they butter? What are we investing in? What are we supporting? What are we endorsing? Because to be fanatical, to be a fan, that's filling with fantasy, illusion. Fame means illusion, glamour, illusion. We're chasing fame. We have to stop allowing ourselves to be mesmerized by illusions. Now again, when we're dealing with economics or home or the home or the foundation and those guns and butter, we would say that, or for example, entertainment, butter, education, guns. See, entertainment, that's something that will depreciate your value over time. You'll lose interest in what you're entertained by. But education, that's something that appreciates in value over time, because constant education leads to constant elevation. So that's the difference. Just something that small. Are we focusing on entertainment when it comes to our family and our children? Are we focusing on education when it comes to our family and our children? And when I say education, I'm not talking about sending them out to these government school systems. I'm talking about true education that starts at home. Parents educating their children, bringing out their inner genius. Because as a parent, you know your child better than any stranger ever could. You are their primary guidance counselor, their primary teacher. You are their initial guidance counselor, their initial teacher, before anyone else or anything else. But we lost the value of ourselves. We lost the knowledge of ourselves. We think that these are other people's jobs to do these things for our children, but they're not. That's our job. So we have to start practicing the guns and butter of home economics here. Education equals guns. Entertainment equals butter. And we got to stop expecting handouts, especially from the hand that pushed you down. Stop expecting it to give you a lift back up. And if it does, that's a trick. Because if I really wanted to lift you up, why would I push you down in the first place? It's a divide and conquer strategy. Kill you with kindness, because kindness leads to blindness. And when you're blind, you'll never see the kill coming. But as far as all that I suggested, we're putting pressure on black athletes and black entertainers and celebrities. If they refuse to comply or refuse to meet the demands of the people, and you stop supporting them, and you let them starve and you let them die along with their systems and their industries, and you stop supporting them altogether, those athletes, entertainers, celebrities, and the systems that they're a part of. You have the power, not them. You have the real star power. You empower the so-called stars. If they're superstars, what are you? A mediocre star? A small star? Are you a star at all? Have you even been raised to view yourself as a star? Hollywood doesn't make stars. Parents do. Remember that. Stop supporting people that aren't supporting you. What has the Grammys done for you lately? What has the BET Awards done for you lately? What has supporting any of these athletes, celebrities, entertainers, or any of the systems that they're a part of done for you lately? How are they benefiting you? How are they benefiting your family? If they have no use to you, then you need to get rid of it with the rest of the bullshit. I said it before and I say it again. Take what's necessary. Give back the bullshit. So I just wanted to make a few suggestions, or just to bring that up. Like I said, I know I'm not the first person that thought about this. But the thing is that these so-called black figures or black leaders or figures that have been put in the position of leadership, they don't have your best interest at heart. They're sellouts. They're gatekeepers. Their whole purpose is to keep you dumb, deaf, and blind. To keep you stuck in a stagnant state. To keep you revolving, going in circles. Those that were evolutionaries and evolutionists and pushed for the evolution of people, they've been long assassinated and done away with. Just study some of the teachings of Malcolm X and some of the things that he spoke on. And the things that he said about the civil rights movement and the information that he brought forth telling you that these individuals were working for the government, that these were government orchestrated organizations, whether it be the NAACP or current date Black Lives Matter. These are government orchestrated organizations that are put in place to control the movement of the people, to control the direction of the people. And they put these black figures at the head of these movements to ensure that the people stay docile, that they stay passive, that they stay dumb, deaf, and blind, in a state of illusion, in a state of going in circles, revolving, revolution. Because they don't want you to evolve. They don't want you to grow. They don't want you to expand. Because if you do so, you'll no longer be able to be contained in their boxes. Their chains will no longer be able to bind you. They often say knowing is half the battle. What's the other half? Application. That equals power. Knowledge plus application equals power. gain the knowledge, apply the knowledge. You will see that all things are possible as long as you put forth your will. They will come into existence. So with that being said, family, wholeness to you all. Rise and be greater.
Let's talk about it. The Holistic Art of War. Are you really ready for war? Tap in live on Ascended Mind / Blog Talk Radio. Call in at 515-605-9749 live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Or listen online at blogtalkradio.com/ascendedminds. Tap into the frequency.
And accomplish with this move you're making right now, this transition that you're in?
My biggest move right now is trying to change as many minds that look like us back into the Afrocentric mindset opposed to the Eurocentric mindset. Like everything we're talking about right now, like he was just saying, after he jumps on that grenade, who's going to follow him? We're so trained and it's so embedded to have that Eurocentric mindset that worry about myself, worry about me, worry about mine. I'm not going to help nobody else who look like me build up. When everybody else do it but us. When you made over $100 million in your career, right? Is 105 going to change? 110 going to change your lifestyle? Realistically. You know how many people you can change lifestyle with $10 million in our hood? In our communities? We were in the bubble. George Floyd happens.
That's right.
We stopped playing. We're in there. We're going to ask the owners for it. Stop asking them for shit. Huh. What are we asking them for? I went down the line. No bullshit. You can show. You can ask these dudes if not. I got Paul George sitting right here. I got DeMar DeRozan sitting right here. I got Russell Westbrook sitting right here. I'm literally sitting next to all of these dudes who are L.A. guys. I'm like, bro, I'm not counting your chips. But everybody else is. So you make 200, you make 200, you make 175, you make 150, you make 180. Why don't y'all have your own gym? Why we gotta go to UCLA to work out in LA every time? Y'all all come from the exact same community. You want to inspire kids that look like you. All it takes is five of us. Five. 250. What bank going to turn us down? We about to build this whole shit out for our community. We're going to build gyms, rec centers, start leagues and all that. Who's going to stop us? We got the money. We don't have the mindset. Our mindset, we'd rather go throw $60,000 in the club, in the strip club. Go throw $60,000 than go feed 2,500 people in the hood. Think about it. I've done it. I can't sit here and be like, oh man, I'm a hypocrite. I've done this myself. I've thrown money in the club literally, blindly, aimlessly drunk at a ball. And now I sit back like I'm a stupid ass. I could have fed my whole community 10 times over with the money. I was just late on the bus.
Right.
Because I'm so wrapped into me. I got that Eurocentric mindset. I need this designer jacket. I need these jeans. I need this book bag. I need to be looking like this because the vets got this thing. I'm pushing this car. I'm doing... Why? Who am I impressing? I'm not even fulfilled with me.
When did that click for you?
It clicked for me probably the year after we won the chip. The year after we won the chip, I felt like I had everything, and I still wasn't whole with me. Because I knew something was missing. And I couldn't, and for a long time, I went through bad depression with it because I couldn't figure out what it was. Like, I've always had this mission because my parents instilled in me to help my community, help my people, help people around me, help people who look like me. It was always about the kids when I was growing up with my pops. It was always about the kids. And I always wanted to do something like that, but I couldn't. I was tired of putting my name on it and not being on the forefront of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of being a person to talk about it and not being a person walking that. Because I can't tell you to help out with this and this and that if I'm not doing it. You know what I'm saying? And I felt I'm putting people, young brothers who look like me, in a worse situation.
So they looking up to you.
They look up to me. So when they think, oh, this is cool, this is what they saying he did this and that, he did this, he threw soap on soup on a coach or whatever, they think that is cool. Look at what we glorify. Strip club, getting high, setting people up, killing people. Like, look at what we glorify. And they put millions and millions of dollars into this. Record labels put billions of dollars into this and sell. And we still get raped off of entertainment.
Right. So this is the why behind your movement right now?
100%.
So it's strategic?
Very. Like, for me, I look at Mike. He got his own golf course. I've never played it, but a lot of, like, from what I hear about it, it's very us over there. When you listen to the stories about him going to certain places, as Michael Jordan, and white men used to be like, can't play here. This is Michael Jordan. It ain't about that no more. It ain't about the fame. It ain't about how much money you got. It's what you're doing for your people and what it is. Because they got golf clubs, country clubs, banks, everything for them. And they let you know. It's not for you. We didn't build this for you. Rolex, Timberland, Gucci, Louis, all these that we wear, they tell me not. We didn't make this for you.
Right.
And we still spend the most collectively on all of that. Instead of putting it into, what I asked you about when you come from the bathroom?
He asked me what I was doing with my clothing brand and what we trying to do, financial literacy for the collegiate kids.
Why would I go spend $50,000 in Gucci? I can go spend $50,000 on him and we can really do this.
Dime life.
Facts. My cousin went to the U, played with him and everything.
Oh, you know the stories about him.
Everything.
Wow.
The concept of racial showcasing has come up. Your term, it's in the code book. The term racial showcasing, meaning when racists, when they take a victim of racism, a non-white person, and they put them out in front, give the appearance that this non-white person is in charge, that this non-white person is quote-unquote successful, racism is on the decline, we got non-white people who are quote-unquote running the show. And you know, say that we should all keep in mind the racists, they are the ones who are in charge. They can put non-white people in these positions or decide to fire them. Really keep the emphasis on racist man, racist woman, and what they are doing. I wanted to get your view because I've heard many victims, many non-white people say that they think, you know, it would be constructive if non-white people, if we held other black people, quote unquote, accountable, meaning non-white people, if you're doing things, if you are okay with being showcased and going along with the racist program to help them maintain their system of terrorism, there should be consequences, perhaps. We should be looking to deal with other black people who do things to help out racist man, racist woman, to hold, you know, one another accountable in this counter-racist effort. And I wanted to get your views on that.
Well, it depends on what people mean when they say accountable and whether or not they understand the system of white supremacy. And under VGQ, Victims Guarantee Qualification, any victim of racism can say this if they wish to, but once they say hold them accountable, they should explain in detail what that means, because no non-white person has anything to do with what the white supremacists choose to do, except what that non-white person chooses to do about the white supremacists who are causing it to happen. Whatever it is happening that shouldn't happen to non-white people. That's what white supremacy means. The white supremacists, racist man and racist woman, collectively, are to blame for anything that happens to non-white people anywhere on the planet that should not happen. So if you're talking to another non-white person about what should be done about it, it's logical that the person who is making this request should be in the forefront of doing it themselves. In other words, the non-white person who is being showcased, you might say, and any non-white person can be showcased, all non-white people are showcased to certain degrees. It's just a matter of degree. If you're under the system of white supremacy, you're being showcased in whatever particular task that you are set to do by the white supremacists. Now, if the white supremacists don't have anything to do with what you do, then you're not being showcased. But I don't know of any non-white person on the planet who is not being told what to do and what not to do by the white supremacists. That's what white supremacy means. It means supreme over all non-white people, not some or not sometimes, but all non-white people all the time, everywhere, in all areas of activity within the known universe. So I would go back to this term held accountable, a term that's used over and over and over again. Held accountable how? In what manner? For doing what? These questions have to be answered. Otherwise, just a term, a cliche term almost, held accountable, what does that mean? Accountable, what do you do? It always comes down to what you do. You're going to hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. Hold them how? And hold them for doing what? That everybody else isn't doing too, in one way or another, if they're classified as non-white. One prisoner of war holding another prisoner of war accountable while both of them are in prison? Hold them accountable how? For doing what? One prisoner is sent to clean up the prison yard. Another prisoner is sent to clean up the cells. Another prisoner is sent to paint the warehouse. So which one of these prisoners are you going to hold accountable for doing what? Painting the warehouse? Cleaning up the yard? Cleaning out the cell? Because the person who is running the prison is assigning all of these positions. So is each one of the prisoners going to hold all the other prisoners accountable for being prisoners? These questions need to be answered before anybody makes a move, if you follow the logic. It's all a matter of logic. What is it you're really trying to accomplish? Is it just that somebody might be mad and just want to beat up on somebody because they don't know who to beat up? Or what? But if you're going to act in a counter-racist fashion, that's anyone, at any time, for any reason, get to the root of what you're acting against and what thought, speech, and action you're going to use to do it. And make that very clear. Otherwise, there's confusion. That term that keeps being used over and over again, hold accountable. What does that mean? To whom? When? Where? And what's the procedure? Bottom line, what's the procedure and based on what? If it means you're going to do harm to someone, who is that someone you're going to do harm to? And based on what? Because if you're just going to, I don't know what that means, since I don't know what it means. If I'm going to do harm to all non-white people for cooperating with the white supremacists, which is what all non-white people do, then does that mean that the solution to the race problem, and this might be what people are talking about, I don't know, is to exterminate all non-white people so that then they will not be subject to white supremacy? that is a solution. If you just, if all non-white people would just drop dead, there would be no such thing as white supremacy, because there would be no non-white people. And there would be no non-white people cooperating with the white supremacists.
Tell me what it means.
What?
To be black, someone tell me what it means. Who I gotta vote for? Who am I to be? What car I gotta drive? Where I gotta buy my jeans? Black man, if you ain't really hood, you can be a black man. Is it cause I'm proper when I speak? Black man, should I be a chain and gold teeth? Black man, or Martin Luther King had a dream? Black man, a dream? Black man, you really gotta practice what you preach? Black man, how you gonna talk about peace? Black man, when I got death threats on my screen, now I'm not the enemy? Black man, so who draws the first straw? Everybody hurt, who calls the first call? As soon as you see niggas getting fighting, you be the first motherfucker wanna yell out world star. Can't nobody else touch a nigga, but it's cool for a brother just to bust a nigga. Guns sold in every hood here, slay a dozen niggas, go and kill yourself. Why you at it, take a couple with you. And that don't justify the cop shit. I'm just on some black mob shit. The best way to protest, hit them where it hurts, they pockets. It's time to boycott shit. We need less rappers and more doctrines. We need less ballers and more profits. We need more unity, less gossip. But who am I to speak? I never went to college. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but all this double standard thinking is taboo. If black hate is a myth, the term new black wouldn't even exist. I pray for tomorrow, I pray for the sorrow, I pray for the truth, and I pray for Chicago, I pray for Detroit, and I pray for Oakland, I pray for Port-au-Prince, and I pray for New Orleans. Somebody let me know, how can I be a better African American? Like I ain't grow up being black in America. Like I ain't grow up brown crack, AIDS, and heroin. Damn, they don't really know black man. They don't really know. They don't really know black man. Bad man, black man. They don't really know. They don't really know black man. Bad man, black man. They don't really know. They don't really know black man. Bad man, black man. They don't really know. Sim simmer. Pour some liquor for my niggas. Bust a swisher, roll a cigar, hit the local strip club, throw my income. Well, I guess it's all we know. Hate is all we've been taught, so that's all we show. Just a nigga from Decatur, why does all I doze? Even though the days are dark, still we all got hope. So what's the motive? We don't control shit, cause we don't own shit. Even in our own hoods, we ain't voted. And not just for Obama, but locally voting, that's power. Rome wasn't built in just an hour. Can you hear me? Do I need to speak louder? Christopher Columbus ain't the only one founder. They don't mention niggas that was on the Mayflower. Wait a second, let it soak, mind blown. Bobby Ray from a different time zone. I dare to speak my mind, and now I'm wrong. Shove it up your ass with a pine cone. I'm trying to paint the bigger picture. You looking for the enemy to stare into the mirror. I say I'm trying to paint the bigger picture. You looking for the answer to look into the mirror, black man. They don't really know black man. They don't really know. They don't really know black man. Bad man, black man. They don't really know. They don't really know black man. Bad man, black man. They don't really know. They don't really know black man. Bad man, bad man. They don't really know. They don't really know.
I'm not even against the whole movement. Like, I'm not even hating on it. It's just, if we put that energy into ourselves and in our community and not so much into complaining about how we've been done wrong. And we have been done wrong, but it's like, we gotta stop just saying the same thing and do something different. All this energy that we're putting into protesting, we should put it into our community. Put it into starting businesses. Put it into your kids. Put it into your community. Start our own businesses so we don't have to support all these other businesses. Feed the homeless all year. Do this all year. Don't just stop after this case.